Hope we didn't shock any visitors too badly today. So it's all right to have a good time in the house of the Lord, right? We're not here to play church. We are the church. We're going to be an expression of God's heart wherever we live and wherever we are. Hallelujah. I'm not going to let no devil tell me to shut up. Amen. If God says raise your voice and shout, we shout. Hallelujah. Because praise is toxic to the devil. So you want to get him out of your hair, get him out of your head, start praising the Lord. Whomsoever the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I decided I used to shout and sing and scream in clubs years ago for the devil. Now I'm going to shout even louder for Jesus. Because God deserves our highest praise. Amen. Not the Seahawks. Amen. God deserves our best, our highest praise. Hallelujah. Come on, we can go to a game and shout to our voices gone and come to church and, you know, like we're at a funeral dirge or something. Come on. We're here to celebrate. Amen. The resurrection of our Lord. He is alive, and He's alive in me. He's alive in us. Hallelujah. So give God praise because He deserves it. Do you know it's a normal thing to give God praise? It's actually abnormal not to praise your Creator. Just saying. So I have a new normal now. Now I praise the Lord. Before I didn't. I used to praise myself. You know? You got to get off the throne of your own life. You got to let Jesus be Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. It means to what? Utterly disown. I'm under new management. I'm under His authority now. I'm no longer Lord of my own life. Jesus is Lord. Thank you, Lord. I say it a lot, but you know, folks, we can't be full of Jesus if we're full of ourselves. You know, you can't be Christ conscious if you're self conscious. We got to get over the self. The self is concerned about the opinions of others. Come on, somebody. So we want to give God the praise and the glory that He deserves. And I just love that when David was dancing before the Lord, you know, and he got criticized by McCall, remember? Oh, you made a fool of yourself today, she said. He says, oh no, I'll be even more undignified than this. Says that he worshiped the Lord. He danced before Him with all his might. He put his whole being into it. Amen. Because David was a free man. David was a worshiper. And we are called to be worshipers, aren't we? For the Father seeks those who will worship Him. How? In spirit. And in truth. When we talk about truth, we mean in authenticity. Right? Authentic worship is worship from the heart that is ablaze with the fire of God and love with Jesus. Amen. So it's my heart crying out to His heart in communion. Deep cries out to deep. Hallelujah. So Lord, let's just take a moment. Hallelujah. We thank You. We thank You, gracious Lord. We thank You for Your indescribable gift. We thank You for Your salvation. We thank You for the cross. We thank You for what You have done for us. We thank You that You purchased us with Your own precious blood on the cross. You bought us, Lord, from the slave auction. You took us out of darkness, brought us into light, from bondage into freedom. Oh God, we thank You today that we are now the beloved of the Lord. We are Your blessed ones. We are Your burning ones. We are Your people, a holy nation. We are that royal priesthood. Hallelujah, that we should show forth the praises of the One who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you know that if you're in Christ today, you are called to proclaim the praises of Him? who called you out of darkness. That's according to the Word of God. How many know this thing is not based upon personal opinion? You know, a lot of people have opinions. Well, I like to do church this way. I like to do. What does the Bible say? Amen. How many believe the Bible is the Word of God? Amen. If you don't believe that, you're already in trouble. Amen. But Jesus said, wisdom is justified of her children. And those who are of God will hear God's words. Isn't that true? You see, it's not that people don't recognize truth. It's that people reject truth when they hear it. Jesus said, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love the darkness rather than the light. And they don't come into the light lest their deeds be exposed. So it's not like people don't recognize when something is being spoken to them that's true. It's that they choose not to believe because they don't want to be responsible. And how many know that it is appointed unto man once to die? And after this comes the judgment. Everybody is going to have their day in court. Did you know that? And you got two kinds of people. You got people that have had their sins dealt with beforehand. And you have those who are going to try to go before judgment with sin in their life. And guess who's going to come out? Guess who's going to go through into glory? Those who have had their sins dealt with now. You see, under the old covenant, under the old sacrificial system, there was this altar in the outer court of the temple called the brazen altar, where a continual flame would come up, and that's where they would take the sacrifice and they would lay it on this altar, and it would be a whole burnt offering before the Lord. It was the sin offering. The sin offering. And the whole thing had to be given over. They couldn't have any of it left. It had to be completely consumed. How many know that only the blood of Jesus Christ can take care of the sin problem in your life? Amen. You can't be good enough. I can't be good enough. It's only by the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. So we've got to give God the offering. Do you understand? If you hold yourself back from God, you will be lost. If you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, you will be saved. You got to give Him the whole offering. I have to be done. I have to die to me. You understand? So that I can live in Him. You cannot mix it together. God didn't come to just patch up the old ugly thing. You know what I'm talking about? You heard it said, it was like putting lipstick on a pig, right? It's still a pig. You can't make it pretty, amen? You got to get rid of the pig. You got to get rid of the old. The old nature in us, the one that we were born with, to the unregenerate, those who have not been born again, that old ugly thing that we were born with called the sin nature, has to be dealt with. It cannot be patched up. It cannot be made to look nice. You can't go to, you know, self-help classes and prove the old thing. You got to get rid of the old thing. You got to have a new thing. Yeah. You can't come before God with the old thing. You got to be a new creation, and only God can do that. It's called grace. It's by His mercy that we are saved. I can't save myself, but if I'm trying to, I will lose myself. I will lose my life. If I'm holding it back from God, if I'm not willing to give God my life, to give Him my heart, as we say, well, whatever God has, He can save. But if I don't give Him my life, then He can't save my life. Do you hear me today? God will bless whatever He's given. So we've got to give ourselves fully to Him so that He can do something with us. Amen? Because we can't change our hearts. Oh, we can change some habits. We can quit smoking, quit drinking, quit cussing, quit doing some things. That don't save you. One thing you can't do is you can't change your heart. And God doesn't patch up the old heart. God takes out of you that old heart and gives you a new heart. You must be born again. There are many people that sit week after week in church services around the world who are unregenerate. They do religious things. They sing religious songs. They may do responsive reading. They may even read their Bible. And they may even tell people about Jesus. But unless you are born again, you are not a child of God. And heaven is not your home. You cannot save yourself. Your good works are never going to be good enough. What you need to do is you got to give God the whole offering. You got to say, God, I can't save me. I can't live for you. I can't do this thing. So I give you my life. God, do something with it. He says, now I can do something. Now you believe me. Now you're trusting me. You're trusting me with your life. You're willing to give it to me. And as we do, as we surrender, as we say, then we come into life. The old man is killed. The old man is consumed. Man, and there's a new man that comes to reign. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. He didn't say he's an improvement of the old. He's a brand new creation. A new man. How many remember that song? I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror. That's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Hallelujah. God had to bring me to a place in my life where I was through. I was just done. And that was His mercy. God has to take that marred vessel, that insufficient thing, that unworthy thing, and He has to break it. He has to say, no good. And we say, God, take this broken, marred, stained vessel. Do what you got to do. But God, I want to be new. I want you to create me into something brand new. I want to be born again. You're here today. There's some of you here today that you're not born again. God wants to save you. You got to be willing to trust Him with your life, to give Him the whole offering. You see, sometimes we do things, we do God favors. Well, I'll just do a little thing for God here on the weekend. I'll give God an occasional, I may even throw a dollar in the offering. I'll do something for God. You know, say a kind word to somebody today. No, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. But what we do need to do is come to the place where we're done with our way, done with the old mess that we have become, amen, that we were born with, really, and be willing to give it over to God completely. And that's what happened to me. My life has been a series of roller coaster rides, up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. I'd try to get right with God. Somebody invite me to a Bible study, go to the Bible study, get in a car wreck on the way. Just things were happening, you know. That was just like the enemy was working really hard to keep me from Jesus. And even though I had made attempts, and for a little while I'd start to do good, but eventually I'd always fall back into the old thing, the old pattern. I'd fall back into sin again. That whatever it was, you know, that I was trying to get out of, it was like this pit that kept sucking me back in again. Why? Because I wasn't born again. I didn't have a new heart. I was incapable of living for God in my present state. I had to give God this whole thing and say, God, take the whole mess. I can't do anything with it. I can't save me. I can't live for you. I can't do this thing. How many people have been delivered when you came to the place where you said, I can't do this thing? You came to the end of yourself. The prodigal son had to come to an awareness that he was hopelessly lost. And the only hope that he had was to return to his father's house. And he thought, well, maybe my father will make me one of his hired servants. At least it's better than eating pig food here in the world. But that's not what happened. God had a celebration, didn't he? Because that's God's heart. God is not willing that you should perish, but that you should come into life. He's not willing, amen, that anyone should perish. For God's will is to share his glory with you, to share his kingdom with you. In John 17, that's what Jesus said. God wants you for his kingdom. God wants you to come out of death and into life. God wants to take you out of religion and religious practices and ceremony and formality and bring you into relationship, bring you into authenticity, bring you into life, resurrection life in Jesus Christ, a new creation. I've been born again. The light is on and somebody's home. Jesus is in the house. But God couldn't save me until I was done with me. Till I repented. Sometimes we're remorseful and we say, oh God, I'm sorry about that. But then we go back and do it again. Why? Because we have not repented. Unless a man repents, he will perish. Well, Lord, we thank you today that you didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through you might be saved. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. We're not up here today to compare ourselves with our neighbor. Amen. Or the person beside me and say, well, at least I'm not as bad as that person. Because without Jesus, we're all a mess. Amen. As a matter of fact, Jesus makes us look good. It's His glory, His righteousness, His holiness. Amen. I can't stand before God with my list of do-gooding things, you know, that I've done in life. I can only come before God and cast myself down at the mercy and say, Father, forgive me. I'm a sinner. And I need your mercy. I need you to take this mess, this life. I give it to you, Jesus. I'm willing to trust you with me. And then when you come to that place, now you're ready for Jesus. You're not ready for Jesus until you're through with sin. Some people think, well, it's just a matter of just adding Jesus to your life. No. Again, you can't patch up the old thing. You have to exchange it for the new thing. You have to give Him the old heart so He can give you the new heart. And you'll be born of His Spirit. And all of a sudden, things begin to shift and change, and you just start to do these really weird things like shout the name of Jesus and run around with a tambourine and tell people about how good God is. And it's like, oh, I can't help it because it's something good has happened to me. When something good has happened to us, we don't want to hold it back. We want to share. Man, so if you think this is all about just adding Jesus to your life, you're mistaken. You can't just add God in when it's convenient. I'll give God a little place here and there. But no, it's a matter of who's going to be master, who's going to be Lord, who's going to rule over me today. Am I willing to give Him the whole offering? He who will save his life will lose it. But he who will lose his life for my sake and the gospel will gain it, right? Will find it. Hallelujah. Some of you today, you're sitting here and you're hearing and there's something going on right now inside your heart. There's a burning in your heart and God is drawing you. And I want to encourage you because you cannot come to God anytime you want to as a sinner. You can only come to God when He summons you. Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father draws them. So if you hear His voice today, don't shut the door. Open the door and let Him in. Do yourself a big favor. Open the door and let Him in. Someone's knocking at the door. Do yourself a favor. Open the door and let Him in. Hallelujah. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. Hey, we're ready for a tour. You ready? We'll get the bus and we'll hit the road and the New Horizons Singers. Hallelujah. Hear what the Lord is saying today. If you sense Him tugging on your heart today, don't resist. Don't reject that invitation. How many times, I wonder, did people hear the message through Noah's preaching? In the days of Noah, as he pleaded with people to get on board the ark because the flood was coming, just like God said. How many people had heard that message? The Bible says that they knew not until the day that they entered into the ark and God closed the door. It was too late. Do you understand? Today, you and I have been given an opportunity to be saved. But it's not when I choose. It's not when I think, well, maybe in my retirement years, when I'm done golfing and doing all the things I want to do in life. No, it's when God is calling you that you must listen to His voice. Do not resist Him who speaks from heaven. Don't resist the Spirit of God. Open the door. Let Him in. Be willing to let Him have that which you cannot save. And that is your soul. You cannot save yourself. No one will be able to stand before God and say, God, look at all the wonderful things I did. The only thing we say is, Lord, thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for the cross. Thank You for saving me. I'm a sinner, but God, I believe You died for me. You rose for me. And if I give my life to You, You can save me. Bow your heads, would you, this morning, right now? And right where you're at, you can say, Lord Jesus. Let's just say it together. If you mean business today, just say, Lord Jesus, I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And You rose again on the third day that I could be justified. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and in need of Your salvation. I give You my heart, my life. I place my life in Your hands. Lord, save me. Sanctify me, fill me with Your Holy Spirit, and raise me up to walk in new life as a new creation. I thank You, Jesus, that I am forgiven. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Now you got to tell somebody. If you confess Me before men, I will confess You before My Father in heaven. If you deny Me before men, I will also deny you before My Father and His holy angels. How many here are going to confess Jesus? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God is good. And it's not just a cliche. It's a reality. And today I want to talk to you about something that maybe a little different than what we typically might hear. Oh, here we go. But it's just something that the Lord has kind of brought to my attention. Because a lot of things in life don't seem to make sense. Even as a believer, things happen to us that don't seem to make any sense. We have ups and downs. I mentioned how before, especially, I was like on a roller coaster until Jesus really came into the house and began to. It went from like this down to kind of like this to more of a like steady. And then it's like a steady upgrade, you know, as we're heavenward. Amen. We're pressing on towards the mark of the high call. We're looking at Jesus. He's the author and the finisher. He's the finish line. He's the one we want to see at the end of our life and hear Him say, well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. I loved You before You knew Me. Before You called on Me, I was calling for You. And all the things that you blew in life and messed up in life, God's taking care of it. Aren't you glad we don't have to live out of regret anymore? We don't have to live in shame anymore. We can live forgiven. We can receive what God said, that if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you and go on. Amen. The Bible says to confess your faults one to another and to pray for one another that you might be healed. We need to make sure that we take care of things horizontally as well as vertically, that we love one another, that we forgive one another, that we have tender mercies and compassion for one another. Amen. Not because somebody deserves it, because none of us, let's face it, really deserve what God did for us. We didn't deserve His mercy. We didn't deserve the cross. That was God's love for you. How many have had this thought that if I do all the right things, then everything should result a certain way that is favorable to me? You know, if I say all the right things, I do all the right things, then everything in my life will be smooth and go the way that I expect them to go. So we search and we find out, well, it is important that we find out what pleases the Lord. We just say amen to that. And so we determine that we're going to live for the Lord and we're going to do what pleases the Lord and we're going to obey His word. Amen. And the voice of the Lord as He speaks to us about things, we're going to say, okay, Lord, I'm willing to change. I'm willing to turn from that as well. I'm willing to give that thing up, lay it at the altar. Amen. Because I don't want any weights and I don't want any sin to beset me or keep me from reaching my goal. Amen. And that is to be with you. Amen. And have you say in that day, well done. I want to be commended by the Lord in that day. I'm not just necessarily talking about salvation. I'm talking about just being commended and receiving a warm welcome. So we think that if I do the right things, say the right things, even believe the right things, then right things are going to happen to me. How many believe that you do reap what you sow? Galatians tells us, whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. But how many know that there's times in your life that you are reaping something that you didn't sow? Good or bad. You and I are recipients of grace. That is something that we didn't earn or deserve, but we're recipients of grace. That's something that we don't deserve, right? So sometimes we receive bad things in our lives that we didn't deserve. Do bad things happen to good people? Yes. Does that mean that God is not good? No. What we need is understanding. We need to stand under and submit ourselves to God and to His workings. And we have to get past this thing called the intellectual reason and have to have everything in our little theological box of figuring it out. If I just do this, 2 + 2 = 4. But in the kingdom, that may not be so. Because God's ways are higher than our ways. So we've all come to places in our lives where we say, God, why? Why? We've done everything we've known to do that was right. And this happens. So we've all asked that question, what did I do to deserve this? Truth be known, by the mercies of God, we don't get what we really deserve. We don't get what we really deserve by the mercy of God. That's mercy. Mercy is you and I not getting what we really deserve. When a prisoner is shown mercy, it means that he deserved this, but they were lenient towards him. And sometimes they even let him off. They showed mercy. And sometimes mercy produces a change in heart and attitude. Does it not? God's mercy has produced a change in me and an attitude change. If God is so good to me, He deserves that I give myself back to Him. It's my reasonable service. It's the least that I can do is give my life back to Him. How about God's grace? Again, it's something that we don't deserve. How many have realized that in life, and even in the Scriptures are full of opposites? Life is full of opposites. Evening and morning. Mountains and valleys. Weeping and rejoicing. Hot and cold. Winter and summer. Sickness and health. Death and life. Opposites. Now the Eastern mystics have got a hold of that and say, well, life is in the balance of the good and the evil, somewhere in the middle. And that's not what we're talking about at all today. Because evil is evil. Amen? Period. God doesn't do evil. But there are opposites. How many have read the book of Job at least more than once? And maybe in a time of great trial and difficulty and misunderstanding and that things are going wrong in your life, and you looked at the book of Job and you looked at this man that had everything going for him. He had the favor of God. He had the protection of God. He had the provision of God. He was a wealthy man. He had his family. He had, you know, so many things to enjoy in this world. And Job, even God said that Job was a righteous man. And God and Satan were in this little dialogue. And the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? And so he's such a righteous man. And the devil said, well, you touch his life and he'll curse you to your face. And Job had no idea that this conversation was going on. But all of a sudden, everything, all hell broke loose in Job's life. And God says, okay, you can touch him, but you can't touch his person. You can't take his life. Now, some of us would say, why would God do something like that? Well, I'm hoping to shed a little light on that. If we want to fast forward to the end of the book, we know that Job was blessed double, wasn't he, in all of his life. God had rewarded him double in the end. What happened was Job, who had a theological concept of God, Job had said, you know, I heard of you in the hearing of my ear, but now I've seen you. And he was ruined. He was undone. He was like so overwhelmed at the holiness, the wisdom, the sovereignty, the power, the majesty of who God really is, that he says, I abhor myself, or I loathe myself. And he casts himself into sackcloth and ashes as saying that I am such a mess in comparison to him. You see, a lot of times, let's face it, we think we're pretty good. You can ask people in a crowd, any crowd, you can go to the movie theater, stand up and say, how many of you think you're good in here? I don't recommend you do this, but if you were, you've got a cross section of people in there, and you probably see 99.9% of the hands go up and say, oh, I'm a great person. I'm a good person. Do you understand? That our evaluation of ourselves often is not accurate. And so we are not really good judges of our own heart. That's why the Lord said, I, the Lord, test the heart. I examine the heart. I judge by the heart. Amen? Because you and I are poor judges. It's the Holy Spirit that enlightens us and allows us to see what's really going on. But naturally, we're all pretty good, we think. That's the humanists today. They say, oh, man is intrinsically good. No, man is a monster without God. Why do you think all the atrocities are taking place in the world? It's because of the condition of the heart. It is fallen. It is wicked. Apart from Christ and the new creation. In Job 42, verse 5, he says, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, how many remember the song by the Birds years ago? A time for every purpose under heaven. Right? I used to love the Birds. I had one of their vinyls, and going back and dating myself a little bit. But you still have it, man. We need to have a bonfire, brother. No, I'm just kidding. All right. hit a demon, scream as you burn it, right? Yeah. Now, some of those albums, I can believe that, right? We need to sanctify everything. Say, Lord, what about this? It goes, okay. What about this? That's okay. Right? How many think believe that's wisdom? Acknowledging the Lord in all your ways. But to everything, it says in Ecclesiastes 3, there is a season. Think about your life as being that. You know, maybe four seasons. How many have had a winter in life? A summer and a springtime. Oh, we love the spring. I love the spring and I love the fall even. But we all go through different times and seasons in our life. It says in verse 2, listen to the opposites being mentioned here. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck what is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to sow. And a time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. Now let's look at Psalms 30. Psalms 30 and verse 4. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His name, for His anger is but for a moment. Weeping may endure for what? But joy. What is He saying? He's saying that joy is birthed out of sorrow. I have seen this in my own life. I've seen it in the lives of others that have gone through some very serious and deep tragic things that have happened in their lives, and God brought them through. And then on the other side of that, there came such a joy into their life. That God works this way through opposites. We can't come into life until we first realize we're in death. Before there can be a morning, there has to be an evening, right? God reveals Himself through what is made, His creation. And Jesus used natural illustrations many times, didn't He, to teach us spiritual truths. Listen to Noah's covenant, God's covenant to Noah when he came out of the ark. In Genesis 8:22, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and wheat and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Who is speaking here? The Lord. He says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Now, I don't know about you, but I grew up in New England. And I know all about snow and cold and ice and plowing and shoveling and salting and and I used to plow snow, actually. And some winters, I was all the time plowing snow. And all I could think about was, oh, I can't wait for this snow to melt and for the springtime to come. How many know that you appreciate things better when you've had to wait for them? And things are enhanced, blessings are enhanced when you've had to endure something to get to the blessing. Sometimes if everything is handed to us when we want it, how we want it, we get spoiled and we become entitlement mentality, right? And just expect things to come our way. And then when things don't go the way we think they should, then it's the blame game. Well, it's that person's fault that my life is a mess. And of course, none of us have ever done that before, but some people have done that. Like Adam, right? The woman you gave me. Yeah. Well, it was the serpent's fault, she said. We got to take responsibility, don't we? Do you know that a good winter, it produces blessings? One of the best ones is that if you have a good cold winter, it takes care of the insects, doesn't it? It'll reduce the insect population. But it's also good for the soil. It oxygenates and it puts certain nutrition, or I don't know what nutrients, into the soil so that your soil will be enriched through the winter snow. And so if you look at things in the wintertime when everything is frozen and just, you know, and seemingly lifeless, underneath is life. Amen? You ever take a seed and examine a seed? Sure we have. We've all planted things, right? And we look at the seed, and you even look at a pumpkin seed, and a dried up old pumpkin seed don't look like much. But inside, in the invisible part of that seed, is life. And our lives are like that. We have to sow this life, our life, amen, to reap the eternal blessings and benefits, amen, the fruitfulness that endures forever. Jesus said, unless the corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if that corn of wheat is sown, he was sown in death, was he not, for us? Jesus died for us. He was sown in death, but he rose again victorious on the third day, amen? And he ascended to the right hand of the Father, and he is now our great high priest and intercessor. Amen? An intermediator between God and men. Jesus is the one who is representing us to the Father. Thank God for his sacrifice. Amen? Thank God that there was a death, that Jesus was willing to lay his life down. And so what we see is out of death came life. Opposites. Our life is that way. There are opposites. There are things that happen. And often, just like Job, he may not have understood at the time. But later on, God revealed himself to Job in a way or at a level that he could have never known except he had gone through that trial. And it brought him to an awareness of really how little he really knew God. He had a theological concept of God. He thought he knew God. But then when he had a true revelation of God, he was blown away. And that came at the end of that trial. Some of you right now are going through a deep, dark trial in your life. But you need to hold on and understand that God has promised in Romans 8:28 to work all things together for the good to them that love the Lord. Amen? All things for good for those who belong to Him. And when you know that God is not surprised at the things that we go through. God didn't say, huh, what just happened over there? God even knew what we were going to do before we did it. He knows all things, doesn't He? God can prevent things from happening, but God allows things always for an eternal reason, an eternal purpose. God sees things from an eternal perspective. We only see things from a temporary perspective. The disciples were distraught. They were saying, don't you realize, to the gardener who was walking with them, don't you realize what has happened? How they took Jesus and they crucified him? Where have you been? You've been under a rock? And here's this man on the road to Emmaus walking with him. They thought it was the gardener, and it was Jesus walking with him. Incognito. They didn't even realize it was Jesus. And they're all they could see through their tears was just the gardener. And their world was over. All that Jesus taught, they thought it must have been in vain. Did God really mean what he said? Is Jesus really coming to set up his kingdom? Because next thing we know, he's being crucified. He's being taken away. And then Jesus sits down with them because they said, Lord, would you like to come in for the night and sit down with us and break bread? And as they sat down to break bread, it says that the Lord opened their eyes and they recognized him. You understand? They couldn't have a revelation of Jesus until they had gone through that valley. There are graces that are produced in our hearts and our lives through the brokenness, through the difficult, through the trial, through the suffering of this world. I know a lot of people, they don't want to hear about suffering, but folks, we are called to that as well as believers. Amen. And in suffering, there is purpose. Some of the strongest people, some of the most stable people you will meet and encounter in life are people that have been through tragedy, been through hard time, and have overcome. What God is doing is He's developing in us a steadfastness. He is strengthening us. He is making us beautiful on the inside. He is preparing us for eternity. Here we have no continuing city. What is our life but a vapor? We're here for a short time. Soon it was going to be over. So all that you experience and encounter and suffer in this life, someday, if you submit it to God and you trust Him, will be rewarded eternally. And Jesus, for the joy set before Him, endured the cross, despising its shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the power on high. For the joy set before Him, He endured. He was willing to submit Himself and say, Lord, whatever You decide. Father, whatever You say. Listen to Paul, the apostle. He experienced these workings in his life. Philippians 1:12, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things that happened to me turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. This is Paul's attitude. I wonder how many of us could actually say the same thing Paul did after you look at what he went through. Look at 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 24. This is Paul. These are some of his hardships. He said, from the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 39 times he was lashed. 5 different times. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. And sometimes we complain because we break a nail. 2 Corinthians 11:26. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness. Often in hunger and thirst and fastings, often in cold and nakedness, besides the other things. What other things? What comes upon me daily? My deep concern is burden for the people of God. Paul knew very well there were different seasons in his life. And he knew that if he was faithful in season and out of season, that God would be glorified. Someday it would be worth it. Because we are not sowing for this life, we're sowing this life now for that which will be. That's why today we commit ourselves. That's why today we serve the Lord. That's why today we trust Him. Amen? Because we know that someday God's going to reward those who have been faithful. And He's going to say to those who have overcome and remained faithful to Him, even when they didn't understand, even when things happened that were not fair, that didn't seem right, understanding that God's heart is always good. Whether we understand it with our mind is irrelevant. Amen? It's God's heart that is good. For God so loved the world. If you don't remember anything else, remember it was God's great love for us that He gave Jesus. He gave His only begotten Son. For God so loved you. God so loved me. Don't ever question God's love. Look at the cross. Remember, it was demonstrated for you there. Here it was Jesus taking my place. It was Jesus bearing my sins. I didn't deserve what He did for me. And Jesus didn't deserve what He did for me. But He loved me, and the Good Shepherd lays down His life for His sheep. Paul said, I've been approved as a minister. How many know that every one of us in Christ are a minister to some level and degree? All of us are called to serve. Did you know that? If you're a Christian today, you've been called to serve. In 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 8, he says he was approved by, listen, honor and dishonor. By evil report and good report. People gave him an evil report. Lied about the man. Sometimes a good report. As deceivers and yet true. He said the people say I'm a deceiver. And yet I'm true. As unknown and yet well known. As dying and behold we live. As chastened and yet not killed. As sorrowful yet always rejoicing. As poor yet making many rich. Do you see the opposites again? As having nothing and yet possessing all things. Every one of us has our own story, our own set of experiences and things that have happened. I was just talking with somebody the other night about, you know, how in life some of us have had it harder than others. We've gone through a lot of stuff, you know. But how many know that if we're just going through stuff and we don't have Christ in our life, then it's doubly tragic, isn't it? Because this is the only heaven you're going to know. That's what people are trying to make this world heaven. People are really looking for paradise, aren't they? We're going to make paradise out of this world. That's what they think. That's what the politicians think. How has that worked, right? Oh, we're going to have world peace. We're going to have utopia. All we got to do is just have another conversation, another dialogue, another discussion. Let's legislate peace. How has that worked? What's the problem? The heart of man is desperately wicked. We need to be changed. We need to be renewed. We need to be born again. We need to be saved. We need to become this new creation. And our citizenship is not here, but it's in heaven. Here we have no continuing city. We look for one to come. We're not living for this life. We're living for that one. Soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess Jesus is Lord in that day. Today is a day of preparation. Today is a day to know that whatever's happening to you, no matter how good or how bad it might be, that God is working all these things together for the good to them that love Him. Amen. And your reward in heaven will be great. The more that you suffer, if you suffer with Him, you shall also reign with Him. That's what He promised. Hallelujah. How many have ever pruned a tree before? You prune a tree and sometimes it looks pretty dilapidated. It's like, man. Or you prune a rose bush, right? It looks like a little stub and everything has been chopped off of it. But boy, what happens is it produces, out of that pain, amen, comes the beautiful blossom. Amen? Out of that pruning comes the fruit. Hallelujah. But we have to wait for it. We have to be patient. In the process, we have to know that God is with you. God is for you. God is not surprised by what you're going through. He has never forgotten you. He promised to never leave you nor forsake you. He is a faithful and a true friend. Amen. And we can call upon Him. Where does my help come? It comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. God loves you. Did the Father ever stop loving Jesus? No. But the cross was necessary to bring many sons to glory. Amen. Many of us. To open the way for us. You know, we cannot blame every uncomfortable situation on the devil. Hell, the devil's after me again. It may not be the devil. He does. He gets credit for everything, doesn't he? Look at Song of Solomon's 4 and verse 16. Awake, O north wind, and come, O south. Blow upon my garden, that its spices may flow out. Come, O north wind, cold, and come, O south, hot. Blow upon my garden, that its spices may flow out. Do you see the adversity working to produce something fragrant, beautiful? Fire and hail, verse 7 and 8 of Psalms 148. Fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind, what? Fulfilling His word. Fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind, fulfilling His word. Let's fast forward to the New Testament. Lazarus was dying. He was sick. Now you know where we're going already. The sisters came to Jesus and say, Jesus, our brother is sick unto death. He's dying. And Jesus immediately dropped everything and ran. What did He do? He waited 4 days. 4 days. Until Lazarus, he was dead and gone. You see, Jesus didn't have his own agenda. And Jesus just didn't drop everything and do what people wanted him to do. Jesus was always on the assignment of the Father. And Jesus was going to do something miraculous through this situation. Amen? Some of you know the story. Amen? What happened? Jesus showed up and he raises Lazarus from the dead. And he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the what? The glory of God. That was a case where Jesus actually let someone die just so that he can come and raise them up and demonstrate the power of God in that situation. Now, God doesn't always do it that way. This is where we have to trust Him. This is where we have to know that God's going to work in your life what is best for you. Your life is a series of different ingredients, of different spices. Some of those spices are sweet and some of them are bitter. But they all work together, amen, to create an anointing. That's why in the Apocrypha, what is it, the anointing in the Old Testament, it was not to be duplicated. Why? Because it was special to the Lord. And in that, there was a mixture of sweet and bitter spices, amen, to produce a certain fragrance. In our lives, there's sweet, there's sour, amen? In our lives, there's bitter. But what God does is He creates something beautiful out of that, a fragrant offering, so you and I can just ooze Jesus to the world. People will have the fragrance of Christ. They will sense the Lord through our lives through this. Now, you've heard it said, but even baking a cake, if you just take, you know, baking soda and take a spoonful of that, by itself, it's going to be like, oh, you put this in the cake mix? Or if you just take the sugar, it's like, oh, that's pretty good. But what happens if you just eat sugar? You sit down and eat a cake full of sugar, right? Just sugar. Ugh. But if you take the salt and the baking soda, right, and the sugar and the flour and all that, and you mix it together, you can make a pretty good cake. Right, Maria? She's an awesome baker. And so you and I are likewise, our lives are mixed with different ingredients. But it's God working in the invisible part of your heart to produce something glorious, something eternal, something, amen, that will never fade or perish, but something also that will be presented before the world as an offering. So people will see the reality of Christ in you. And in me. And through the adversities, through the difficulties, through the hardships of life, God is preparing and positioning a people, amen, to represent Him in truth. That's cool. Thank you, Lord. So your personal experience, we know, is unique to you, right? It's unique to us. You remember it says that when Jesus, before He raised Lazarus, He actually wept. He wept. Now, Jesus knew that He was dead. Amen? And Jesus knew what He was going to do. But why do you think Jesus wept? Because He was touched, right, with the feeling of our infirmities. He was touched by the hurt of the people around Him, you see? It was part of God's will. And it still had to go through the way it did. Amen? But in the meantime, they were saying, Lord, if You had been here, our brother wouldn't have died. How many times do we blame God for something? We don't really know what's going on. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes in the invisible parts. Amen. God's got a plan for your life, but sometimes we're not trusting Him because we think it's supposed to look like this. We've got our preconceived ideas of what my life is supposed to look like, and we set ourselves on a certain image of what it's supposed to look like, and when it doesn't happen the way we think it should, we're devastated. Why? Because we're not willing to trust God with our life. Instead, we have our own plan for our life. I'm sorry. Does that make sense? You see, what's going to happen is someday God's going to reward you. And that reward is going to be so far beyond anything that we have suffered and experienced here. That we have to now say, okay, I don't understand with my mind what's going on, But I'm going to trust the heart of God because I'm His anyways. I was just thinking about this the other day, and I was just thinking, you know, I'm getting older and things are starting to creak and squeak and pains and things are happening in my body. And I'm just thinking, you know, but God is good. And my life is not my own. I have an idea of how long I want to live and what I want to do in life, but God's the one that's going to decide. God's the one that holds that. Amen. He determines whether we have another day or not. Why? Because all souls are mine, says the Lord. All souls belong to Him. So whether I think I have ownership, really, ultimately, He's the one that decides. And when the odometer is expired, amen, it's time to go. It's just time to go. So don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. Don't worry about somebody coming and killing you or taking you out or whatever, because nobody's going to put their hand on you if you're a child of God unless the Father allows it. But understand this, that you're going to be here and you've got an assignment. You've got a plan that God has for your life, and you're going to do that plan, amen, until the God says it's time for you to come home. Amen. John the Apostle, he was going to be here. They tried to boil him in oil. They tried to kill the man. They couldn't kill him. Why? Because it was just not his time. Amen. So don't worry about your life. Don't worry about people, evil people. Oh, what will they say? What will they do if I speak the truth? Come on, if God says say something, you better say something. Amen. I'm going to say it again. If God says say something, you better say something. Because it's going to produce life. How many remember the man born blind? The disciples were in John chapter 9, verse 1 through 3. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now that's natural understanding. And Christians do that. Somebody so-and-so gets sick. Oh, there must be some sin in their life. How many know that you can do all the right things and yet suffer? It's not always an indication. It could be, but it's not always an indication that there's something wrong. Or you did something wrong. Job didn't do anything wrong. God was boasting about how good he was. But God made him even more good. Gooder. So Jesus answered in verse 3, he said, neither this man nor his parents sinned. But what? But that the works of God should be revealed in him. Oh, I know this blows some people's theology is just straining at this one right now. Because everything bad is, right, the devil, everything good is God. How many know that God allows things? Amen. For what purpose? For producing good fruit. Okay, we're going to get into some stinky thinking here for just for a minute. But how many have ever fertilized your garden? Oh, isn't it lovely? Especially if you're using the real stuff, I can remember, I don't offend Jesus, but in Korea we used to drive, they take buses everywhere. And boy, when they were fertilizing those fields, they were ripe. You know? But I tell you what, if it wasn't for that stinky fertilizer, amen? They wouldn't have such a bumper crop every year. Sometimes things in our lives are stinky. They just don't make sense. But God works these fertilizers into our lives. He works things in because He wants to produce out of our life something beautiful, presentable, a fragrant offering. That's our life. Okay, I'm going to give you one more and then I'm going to stop, all right? How about Jacob's lament? Remember what he said? He said in Genesis 42, in verse 36, he says, Joseph is no more, Simeon is no more, and you want to take Benjamin. You remember who he was before? He was before who? He was before Joseph. Remember, Joseph had veiled himself and didn't reveal that he was, you know. And all these things are against me. Jacob said, all these things are against me. Has anybody ever beside myself said something like that? Everything is against me. But what Jacob didn't understand is that the whole situation with Joseph being sold, amen, thrown into the pit and being sold into slavery, was eventually to produce life. It was to bring him into a place where he would be exalted, amen? And then he was going to be able to save his family in the time of famine. But at the time, none of that made sense. Do you get it? Sometimes things happen to us that we can't understand or make sense of, but God is good, and God works all things together for the good. So even where there was a seeming loss here, amen, God eventually turned this into something that was amazing and beautiful. You understand? No, these things weren't not working against you, Jacob. They were actually for you. Do you understand? As a believer in Jesus, a follower of Jesus, all things that happen in your life are not good, but God will take all things and work them together for the good.